Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number 2 of Sports on a Sunday Morning. I'm Mike Claiborne here at the Stiefel Sports Studio Desk, or whatever they call this incredible piece of furniture we have here. Drew Young is in charge of getting us on and off the air, and I'm listening to that last report from Scott. Two places I'm not sure I'm interested in going to. Certainly the Marion Penitentiary. Not interested in that at all. And I'm not sure about this moon thing either. Because, first of all, what are you going to do when you get there? I mean, what are you going to do, go play golf? Go lay out on the beach? I mean, I don't know. I guess it's cool. But those are two places I probably have very little interest in going to. Now, I have some people I'd like to see go to both of those places. I got a list of people I'd like to see either go to Marion Penitentiary and or the moon. But I'm probably not one of them that's interested in it. So, but if somebody else wants to go, let me know how that turns out. Drew, you're young enough to go.
If you had to go to the moon, who would you go with?
Because she's listening, my girlfriend.
Okay.
I think she's. Maybe she's listening. Maybe she's not. But for the safe way, I would go with her.
Okay.
But then again, I already got on Earth, so maybe I ought to figure out somebody else to hang out with. That's a good question, though. What about you?
Me? I don't know. I wasn't prepared.
Well, you were prepared to ask me, okay, but you didn't have an answer. Remember, man, always know the answer to the question you ask.
Okay. I'm going to take notes.
Think about that one. All right.
I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Yeah, you think girlfriend's a safe answer, though, don't you think?
It's definitely a safe answer because if she's watching, she might be watching the stream. You don't
like
know.
Like the rest of the world is, who's not watching World Cup, which isn't being played right now. But yeah.
You know, I'll take Jennifer Lawrence because she just recently got into some. Like, she got some backlash, so I could get her off Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let her kind of clear her head a little bit.
Exactly. And she,
get
and
to know you.
She was in that one movie.
Well, she's been in a few, so you want to narrow it down a little bit?
It was a space movie, so that's why I said.
Oh, okay.
But,
so you didn't play that card, huh?
It was Don't Look Up or something. Or she was in another one, too. She got a couple space movies.
So Jennifer Lawrence would be your pick.
Okay.
All right. Good. Got that out of the way.
There you go.
All right, in this hour, we are going to talk some baseball. Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is going to join us. We're not only talking about the Cardinals, but in case you haven't been paying attention, the owners in baseball are spending a whole lot of money on next season and perhaps the future. So we'll visit with him. John Mozeliak had a good week where he found a catcher, that be it Wilson Contreras, and we'll talk with him about that acquisition. And as I said earlier in the week, with Matt Pauly, I don't think, and I've known Mo from the day he got here, I don't think I've ever heard him as optimistic about something when it comes to acquiring a player as he was this weekend saying he was going to get a catcher. And maybe because he had a variety of catchers to choose from. I mean, there were a number of guys out there that could have fit the bill for the Cardinals. So, but I'm glad he got one. And, you know, like most other Cardinal fans, all right, what else are we going to do? Now we have a catcher. What else are we going to do? And we'll talk with him about that in just a bit as well. Because this team, and Mo will be the first one to tell you, this team is going to look different in the spring training than they will in June or September. But you have to start somewhere. I'm of the belief the question for me is, and I'll roll this out to everyone else, and you can respond by going on Twitter at KMOX Sports. You can do the same thing on Facebook with KMOX Sports, and YouTube, you can go to KMOX Sports and you can type in and send us your thoughts. Are you comfortable with Andrew Kisner being your backup, considering what you saw last year and the direct desire to have someone better than him on the roster, hence Wilson Contreras? So are you comfortable with him, or is it another catcher out there that you feel like you can roll out and get some quality innings out of from behind the plate and certainly in the batter's box? Or is there something else this team needs? Do you need another starter? Do you want to enhance your bullpen with a little bit more experience? I think if I go to the bullpen, I'm looking for someone who has closing experience. Because the way closers are used today, you're going to use this guy 3 days a week minimum if you're a good team. So maybe you need someone with a little bit more experience on that front. And here's the other thing that we haven't talked a great deal about, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about it with Mo. How much, from a strategy standpoint, with a balanced infield and a pitch clock, does that change your approach in how you play teams? I know there's already been a discussion with regard to when you get that left-handed hitter, you just move the left fielder and let him play over in that short right field area, you know, much like what the shift looked like. But I've also been told that as soon as that starts to happen, Major League Baseball will remind everybody we're going to play within the spirit of the rules, so that won't be allowed. So there are a lot of other things I think we're going to have to look at differently. And I think one of the biggest challenges will be these slow pitchers. And if you haven't noticed, the Cardinals had a few of them. Giovanni Gallegos was the slowest pitcher in baseball. So how does that affect him? Having to shave off, I believe Gio was like at 26 seconds, maybe 28 seconds between pitches. That's before there was a foul ball or a runner on base. So how do you reduce 10, 12, 14 seconds on your delivery and still be effective? I mean, that means you're going to have to play a lot of catch in the backyard in the offseason in order to be able to enhance that situation. So we'll see how things unfold. But we'll talk with Mo. We'll also talk with Derek Gould about it as well. We'll take our first break of the hour. You are listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning right here on KMOX from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We'll be back with more after this. 11:19 in St. Louis. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the guest line. And standing by is Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who's covered the Cardinals for how many years now, Derek?
Oh, goodness. I think I'm going into my 19th season. So we're coming up. Yeah, 19th season. This will be my 19th season. So that's not too long.
Yeah, not long compared to Rick Hummel, who just finished 51 years in the business.
That's
so
right.
You're right.
Yeah.
You got a lot in front
relative.
Of you. Hey, question for you. What's more challenging to cover a team now? Is it the winter meetings or spring training?
Fascinating question. I would suggest I enjoy spring training because there's a real chance, especially, spring training being back to closer to what it was. Spring training 2021, being part of the knothole gang and watching through the chain link fence, that was not great. It was a challenge. I hope we did good stories. I hope we did good things. It was good, certainly a lesson in observational reporting. Because there was so little interaction and chances to interact. So you could only write really what you could see. So it was, well, how do I see the most things and how do I interpret them? That was a good challenge. It was a good reminder, and I feel like I'm a better reporter for it. But spring training is just such a wealth of opportunity to tell compelling stories, to see competition before it counts in the standings, when it really only counts on the roster. I think you can see a team come together. You can see, as you and I have both seen not too long ago, a team come apart in spring training. I'm thinking back to some of the sloppy spring trainings we saw when they were just a mess down there. And so I that's a long way of answering your question that I think the reporting and the storytelling is more rewarding and more enriching in spring training. And I think that winter meetings, while dramatic and certainly catering to the rumor mill, can be a whole lot of smog and not a whole lot of substance. This year was different. This year there was a lot of substance. But there are times where we've both gone there and there are there's a whole lot more rumor mongering than there is reporting, and that can get exhausting.
Derek Gould of St. Louis Post-Dispatch is with us. Derek, John Mozeliak had a mission this year to go to winter meetings and find himself a catcher. Mission accomplished. Give me your thoughts on the pecking order, or did you have one as far as catchers that you knew the Cardinals needed to have?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Sean Murphy with Oakland was really fascinating for a lot of reasons, right? He comes with years of control. It would have freed up the Cardinals to then go and get additional help either for the offense or for the pitching staff this year. It would have allowed them to be a little bit bigger player and free agent. They still can be. They still have, you know, the payroll space and the budget space, however you want to look at that, to go and look for a starting pitcher, for example. But I thought the series of events to get Murphy on the upswing when he is still defining himself as an all-around catcher was really compelling, because you're talking about a guy then who could grow into being the franchise catcher. And that had just so many of their past, methods of operations, on it, right? Acquire before a guy becomes a free agent, sell him, extend him. This just would have guaranteed that much more. But we know the asking price was steep. I thought Danny Jansen in Toronto was an interesting pick just because of the reputation he has for working with pitching staffs and for some of the raw abilities he has as a catcher. And then just like the sneaky power that he has, right? And limited at-bats last year, not a full-time catcher last year. He still had, considerable pop for that position. So I thought those two were really compelling. And then Contreras was out there as the best available free agent as far as offensive goes. And while you could see them take the safe route and not make the trade and go for Christian Vasquez and just side with defense and steadiness and ability, I could see them doing that. But I was really struck by how they pivoted and said, all right, well, there's one guy there who plays catcher, who says we can help him improve, and who changes the middle of the order. There's one guy who does that, and he costs dollars. So how do you make that happen? I thought that was a really compelling shift for the Cardinals from, say, previous pursuits, where they would try to find multiple people who might fill their needs and try to do it cost effectively. Here was a chance to get into a bidding war to try to outbid the defending World Series champs, and they did so.
Final question for Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What's next as far as this roster is concerned? I mean, they've got still some situations to deal with, but mm-hmm. if there's another need for this team going into spring training, what would it be in your assessment?
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about that in this morning's paper, that the need that they see rising might not be in 2023, but there might be a chance here ahead of 2023 to definitely address a glaring need in 2024, which is starting pitching. They only have one of their five spots in the rotation under contract for 2024. That's wholesale changes that this team has not done before. And oh, by the way, it's at a position where we're seeing pitchers get really skyrocketing salaries, Mike. As you know, guys who give 150, 160 innings are going at the same rate as guys who used to be standard bearers at 200 innings. There's been significant inflation in that market. Getting an ace is the kind of cost the Cardinals have never done in free agency. So do they want to be in that position, or do they want to make a move ahead of it? They'll do some extension work, Mike. We know that. There's probably likely an extension or two coming in spring training. But that still leaves spots open in the rotation that if they could get ahead of it, they will be looking.
I want to follow up on that then. Do they have anybody in the organization that could slide in to be a bona fide starter? Maybe not necessarily an ace, because mm-hmm. I think those are really hard to come by. But do they have people within the organization that you've seen that are ready to take that next step and make and be front end guys in the rotation, not a guy who's going to be a fifth starter? I think we have the market cornered on that. But what about guys who can be that second or third guy?
I think you'll know more about McGreevy this coming year, and if he can be that guy. I think they want to see Libertor make a great stride into that conversation. And I continue to say, do not discount Zach Thompson with what he showed, what he learned, his upside. He's got the look of a lot of the starters who have come through here, and the college draft picks who have done well or gone elsewhere and done well. Marco Gonzalez, for example, with more velocity, with a little bit more bite to his stuff. And Gonzalez has gone off to Seattle and been a big, you know, been a good, solid part of that rotation for at times. So could he be that guy? I think there are those options there. What you don't want to do is say, now we need you to be this leader of the rotation, yeah, when you can sign somebody to really be that guy. And then you're that much better. It's sort of what they've done with the lineup. You know, you don't, with the addition of Wilson Contreras, now you don't need Tyler O'Neill to be your number five hitter, right? But if he can be, how much better are you?
Yeah, the longer the lineup, the better the lineup. Derek Gould,
exactly.
It was great to see you in San Diego. Looking forward to seeing you in Jupiter, and maybe I'll see you even before then. If not, you and your family have a great holiday season, sir.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, and congratulations on your award this past
Thank you very much.
Deserved,
I appreciate it.
And it's fantastic.
All right, sir. Take care. All right, Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, brought to you here on KMOX in the Stiefel Sports Studio. Got that one in, too. When we come back, we'll have a chance to visit with the president of baseball operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. He is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's John Mozeliak, and he comes your way on KMOX after we take this time out.
Now, the John Mozeliak Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by your Gateway Acura dealers, Munganass St. Louis Acura, and Frank Lita Acura on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
And we say good morning to the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals. He's John Mozeliak. John, good morning, and it was a very productive week for you and the ball club.
Good morning, Michael. Obviously we went out to San Diego for the winter meetings with the purpose of trying to acquire a catcher. Leading up to that, there was a lot of time and energy spent exploring the trade market, understanding the free agent market. But, yeah, to ultimately get Wilson Contreras signed, we're certainly excited about it. And I think a lot of people that got to speak with him or watch his press conference on Friday understand a lot of the things that we got to see early on in this process. And I think people now understand exactly why we did it.
When did everything start as far as negotiations? I know it was reported that you all met off campus and talked a little bit. We saw him quite a bit as far as a player with the Cubs, but when did it all start for you?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is, we always knew that this past year was going to be Yadi's last year. So, as we entered the season, we began, making sure we paid attention to opposing catchers throughout the entire season. And then you sort of fast forward to the month of October when, after we were eliminated from the postseason, we were thinking about how we should go about this, what we should do. And then that takes us into the general manager meetings where we did have our first face-to-face with his representation. At that point, you're not talking dollars or years or anything like that. It was more just, trying to gauge some level of interest. And then Ultimately, coming out of that meeting, we determined it would make a lot of sense to do a face-to-face. And then Ollie and I flew down to Orlando to meet with him, and it's been well documented about that meeting. But, you know, just to get really a sense of to get to know him, wanted him to be very clear, like, on what our expectations are for this type of move, and then what his expectations were for the team he signs with. So I think we were able to accomplish all that. And then, you know, ultimately that took us to winter meetings, where we had our first face-to-face this past Monday. And, you know, from there, it started to gain a lot of momentum. And at the same time, we were still, you know, keeping some balls in the air on the trade market. But as this started to be something that we felt like we could bring to closure or get it done, you know, ultimately we let those other balls fall, and we made sure we got this deal done.
You had some really attractive options aside from Contreras that was standing there waiting. Obviously, you would have had to make a deal compared to signing him. You've done this for a long time. Have you ever been in a more better situation where you had that many options that you could walk away from the winter meetings and say, we feel good about this one?
It was definitely unique, but I would say like there were no guarantees, right? Like, what you didn't want to have happen is the music stop and you were left mm-hmm. standing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, as we sit here today on December 11th, now there are players that have been rumored to be traded, haven't been traded yet. But my biggest fear was if we overplayed our hand and then we're left with nothing, that would have been a really, you know, bad spot to be in. So I really felt like we had to be aggressive. Once we felt like we had a bird in hand, we really had to pursue it.
You know, Contreras, the most games he's caught in his career was 133. Will there be more competition for the backup on this ball club? Or are you comfortable with what you currently have on the roster?
You know, I think, like, you know, Andrew Kisner is a very popular player and one that I think continues to grow. And obviously, like, when you think about that role, you're really having to check multiple boxes. But in the end, it is about production and how you know, work with the staff and so forth. So I think right now we're pretty comfortable with Kiz in that role, but you know, I feel like, you know, we just completed getting a big contract done, adding Wilson to our club. I think this week we'll sort of reassess and decide, you know, where else we want to try to maybe redeploy some resources to improve the team.
When it comes to resources, there also comes a salary with it. From a big fish standpoint, Contreras is that. Where are you at as far as how you want to roll with your budget at this time of the season, where you can make an investment somewhere else on the ball club?
Well, I think the bigger question is you know, where is that and what does that look like? You know, ultimately, the good news is I think if we had to go out and invest, we do have some resources available. In terms of making that big splash, I wouldn't believe many of the rumors you're reading right now.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you on not reading too much into those. Hey, were you surprised at how much the money the teams were throwing around this year in the offseason? And we have some new players. I mean, Texas got in it last year. They decided to come back and have another drink, and we've seen some other teams get involved. Were you surprised at that as far as, A, the amount of teams that feel like they want to go for it, and, B, the amount of money that they're spending?
Not really. And the reason I say that is I think, you know, you think back to where we were a year ago. We were in a lockout. I think, you know, having labor peace gives some teams a sense of security moving forward for the next few years of not having to reflect on that. I also think there are teams that are just frustrated that, you know, they're not in a position where they can, you know, truly compete. And so you have some teams that are really, you know, pushing their envelope to almost like try to guarantee that. But what we've learned in this business is nothing's guaranteed. And, you know, so I suspect the greatest thing about all sports is that you actually play the games and that determines the outcome. But, you know, winning the off season or being the most aggressive in the off season historically doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot when it comes to actually the season. So, you know, I think that's the beauty of sport and especially baseball. And So even though there's a lot being said, there's new team spending, there's some teams not, you know, in the end, it's you know, ultimately you got to compete over 162 and you hope you're built for that.
I love the way this roster is made up, where there's a lot of competition at various positions. We don't worry about the third base and the first base situation, but the second base situation is going to be interesting. The DH from both sides is going to be interesting. And also there's a young man named Jordan Walker who you have spoken highly of over the last year or so. What checks the biggest box for you when you talk about Jordan Walker? What really impresses you?
Well, I think he's a complete player, first off. So he checks almost every box. But I think like the one sort of like unique skill set he has is he hits the ball really, really hard, and he does it consistently. So, you know, historically, when you look at players that have that type of trait or skill, they end up being, you know, enormously successful in this league. And so I think he's going to be fun to watch. I think, you know, spring training 2023 is going to be one where he's going to get a lot of opportunities and a lot of playing time. And I think from, you know, more of the general public or fan base standpoint, they're going to see what a lot of us have already got to witness. And I suspect it's even going to look better than what we've seen because, you know, he's having a, you know, normal off season, continuing to add strength and physically mature. And so when that's happening, it's, you know, it's just exciting to watch. And so, you know, I think the type of player he is the type of player that you're always hoping to have in terms of being a legitimate impact player at the major league level.
John Mozeliak is our guest. Final question for Mo. I'm sure you're getting calls from agents about their players. What position are you getting the most calls about?
Well, I think when you look at the free agent market right now, you know, there's still some starting pitching that's out there. And I think a lot of people just, you know, find us desirable. And so, you know, definitely hearing some things on that front. And then, you know, I'm still hearing I get calls just in general of just trying to create opportunity for some of their players. But, you know, our roster is pretty tight right now. I think it's going to have to be something that, you know, it may be if we bring someone in, it may require another move, that type of thing. So I think right now we're just trying to really assess where we are and determine what's next.
I'm just going to tell everybody now, folks, stay tuned. It's not over. So we'll look forward to seeing how things unfold between now and spring training. John, as always, thank you for the time, and I'm sure we'll cross paths before the holidays.
That sounds great.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Take care. John Mozeliak, president of the St. Louis Cardinals. And as you heard, if something's out there that they think they can go for, I think they're going to make at least one more move. But I really feel like from a competition standpoint, spring training is going to be very interesting at a lot of different positions. And with the WBC taking place, at-bats will be at a premium. And if you want to make this ball club, and if you hit, you're going to play. You don't hit, you'll either be somewhere else or you'll be watching. So it's going to be a fun time. And if you're going to come down, I would suggest you make your reservations because this Cardinal team will be a very interesting team to watch from day one. As they put this roster together and go out and try and elevate their chances from last year of getting out of the first round and obviously playing in the World Series in 2023. When we come back, we'll have a chance to talk a little hockey with Dan O'Neill, formerly of the Post-Dispatch. Now he's a noted author, and we'll talk about his new book as well, and that comes your way after we take this time out from the Stiefel Sports Studio on KMOX.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From the Stiefel Sports Studio, I'm Mike Claiborne, and we go back to the guest line. And standing by, he's an accomplished writer, but now he's a noted author. He's Dan O'Neill with a new book out called Best of the Blues. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Mike. Good to talk to you. I appreciate the noted author reference. Very nice.
Well, you know, it fits. It's got a nice ring to it. And this isn't your first book, but it's your most recent book. And, you know, I've always found, and there's been a handful of books written about the Blues and their history. And I've always found each one of them to be interesting, whether it's a list or maybe a story. So tell me about your book, because it sounds like this could be a very nice holiday gift for a Blues fan.
Oh, I think it's perfect. But I think, you know, Mike, knowing you, I know you can appreciate this book because it's basically a book that comes out of just conversations in a bar or restaurant or at the game, in between periods or whatever. And you know, you always like to think of or compare players or think about, you know, who was as good as this guy or who was better than this guy. Or I just thought there have been some books out about the Blues, but there really wasn't a book like this that identified the best players in the history of the organization. So it wound up being 25. That was more of a publishing thing than I actually wanted to keep it to about 15, but it wound up being 25 of the greatest players. And then there's two other sections, Mike. One is the best of the rest, which is, you know, there are some tough decisions in some cases, a few players who are right on the cusp for various reasons. And then there's a section I like, which is the best of the brief, which is six guys who've spent no more than one season here, but were among, you know, the most impactful players the Blues have had. So there's players like Scott Stevens, who was only here for 1 year and
Wayne
was
Gretzky.
The captain.
Yeah.
Gretzky didn't make the cut because he only played 18. No.
Wow.
He only played 18 games. I had to draw the line at more than 18 games, but certainly certainly Gretzky was certainly a notable, to use your expression, notable player for the Blues. But yeah, you know, Stevens was here for a year, led the Blues to at that time their best season. They won 47 games that year, and he was a captain. He was the headliner in the St. Patrick's Day Massacre at Chicago Stadium.
He and Dave Manson.
And that's one of the side. You know, the book has a bunch of little sidebars of bests, such as that best fight ever, and best mustache, which was Paul McClain, and best hat, which was that interesting fedora that Kent Hitchcock wore at the Bridgestone Classic. So there's a lot of fun stuff in it, and as well as interesting profiles of the best players in Blues history.
Well, I'm anxious to read it. It sounds like that could be a very good conversation piece, especially at this time of the year. And it'll kind of take our minds off of the current team that's having a little bit of a problem. You've seen enough hockey in your lifetime. What do you see as being the biggest concern other than the consistency?
Well, I'll mention a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I don't ever hear it mentioned, really, but, you know, Jimmy Montgomery was a part of the staff the past few years in St. Louis, and now he left, and he's coaching the Boston Bruins, who were supposed to have a down year this season, and they're the best team in the National Hockey League. So I got to feel like his absence is a part of it. I don't know to what degree, but certainly it's worth paying attention to that. And I just think, Mike, I think you can appreciate this. You know, the sports that involve physicality and, you know, several players participating at one time. In other words, the success of any one player depends quite a bit on what the other guys are doing. And other than football, I think hockey has that ingredient, that team ingredient, that's just kind of an intangible thing. And for whatever reason, you know, it's I mean, for example, the Blues, the team that won the Stanley Cup, it's not roster wise the best team the Blues have ever had. I mean, my God, when they traded for Wayne Gretzky, their starting lineup in Vancouver that night was Gretzky, Brett Hull, Shane Corson, Chris Pronger, Al MacInnis, and Grant Fuhr. So, you know, they've had better line, they've had more star-studded lineups, but they've never had a better team. I mean, the goal is to win the Stanley Cup, and that team did it, and they did it because they were a terrific team. And that ingredient's just missing with this team. They were supposed to be a good team this year. Or this season, and so far they just haven't gotten it together. And what chemistry is involved there? Whether it's contracts or contracts signed or whatever, it just changed something with them, and it's just not working.
Yeah, I would agree with you. This has been probably the biggest head scratching team for me I've seen in a long time because, you know, on paper, you look at the goal scorers, you look at a lot of other things that they provide, and you say, well, why not? And then you say, well, they don't have David Perron. Well, when we had him, people were complaining. And now that he's gone, we say, well, we wish you could get him back. You know, there's so many things that go into this that you just really scratch your head and just say, man, I can't put my finger on one thing. Other than for me, I just think there's a lack of detail and commitment. And it's not from a coaching standpoint. I think the coaching, I mean, these guys, they get stupid overnight. But we just don't see players making a commitment and playing for each other. And it's become a contagious issue that I think they can cure, but I don't think they can cure with the current roster makeup, which means somebody may have to be brought in and somebody probably will have to go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know what happens, and people like to look back to 2019 and say, well, you know, they're in last place in January or January 3rd or whatever it was. And but what happened was is Jordan Binnington came in and he just gave them a boost out of nowhere. You know, he wasn't, that was totally unexpected. It wasn't a player they had on their roster that was supposed to help them. And so there was a change there. Like you're talking about, there was somebody who came in and lit a fire and it made all the difference in the world. I agree with you there. And it's sort of what I was talking about, the lack of commitment and things like that. I mean, I think there's things you can point to. I do think they're kind of soft. They're not a very physical team.
Yes, very soft.
They're particularly not physical on defense, which hurts. You know, they've got a couple of guys that are a little small. Torrey Krug, he's a good player on the power play, and I'm not trashing him or anything, but he's small. Loses battles, you know, against bigger guys. And I do think they miss Perron for this very reason, because of the lack of intensity and tenacity that we're talking about. And, you know, he took bad penalties, and some people would rip on him and say, but you can't deny the guy is one of the best players in the league on the wall, in the corners. He was very tenacious. And he could make plays, and they just don't have that tenacity up and down their lineup for sure. So I agree with you. I mean, it's still they're still only 5 or 6 points maybe out of the mix, and
yeah, there's time.
I think they're still a team that can make the playoffs, but you certainly can't have very high hopes for them going very far.
Well, let's see what happens. Hey Dan, where can we get the book? It's called Best of the Blues.
Right, Mike. Thanks. Yeah, well, I'll be at Barnes & Noble in Fenton starting at noon here in just a few minutes signing books. But I'm looking forward to next Saturday. Jamie Rivers is going to join me at O.B. Clark's, the St. Louis's hockey bar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We'll be there from 5 to 6 on Saturday signing books. And it should be fun. It's a great place to do it. Otherwise, you know, you can get them wherever notable authors are sold.
You like that one. I'm glad you're good with it. I was concerned that maybe you would be offended, but you are a noted author. So let's have fun with it.
I know you got to run, but I wanted to give you a compliment. I heard you did a good job about the 1-2-3 on Friday. So good for you.
Well, thank you. I had good people to interview. So that's what made it good, only because they had good answers. Hey, Dan, have a good holiday. Best of luck with the book. It's called Best of the Blues. Dan's going to be signing around town today and also next Saturday. Folks, check it out. It'll be a great holiday gift for someone, including yourself. Dan, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care. Dan O'Neill, Best of the Blues. Check it out, folks. Fun book. We are just about out of time. This has been a lot of fun. We want to thank all of our guests, starting with Travis Ford, Howard Richards, also visiting with Derek Gould and John Mozeliak, and, of course, you just heard from Dan O'Neill. A lot of things going on this week. As I said earlier, stay tuned, folks. Cardinals may have some other things going on, but it's going to be a fun time to be involved with this ball club because they certainly are better today than they were against that last game against Philadelphia, and it only will get better. So for everybody here, including our good buddy Drew Young, who was in charge today and did a phenomenal job, sir, he now figures that Jennifer Lawrence will go to the moon with him, and I'm excited to hear about that. And we'll look forward to that story at some point down the road. But for everybody else here, we thank you for listening. We'll look forward to talking to you later this week right here on Your Voice of the Cardinals and St. Louis U, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.